ओम ज्ञान चिनिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. Thank you so much for so patiently waiting.
Hare Krishna.
That's right. Sorry for being late. Blame it on SpiceJet. The flight was late. I'm just going to speak now because it's a little late and you've been doing Kirtan for some time, and this is also Kirtan. Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj is... How long has he been here? He was here yesterday? He was here yesterday. He had his Sunday lecture program. And Narayan Maharaj, what was he doing? I see. And he'll be here for some more days? He'll be here for some more days. I see. All right. I heard that first of all the program was arranged for Maharaj, so sorry to deprive you all of his association, which is very valuable. I've known him for it must be almost 30 years now. He's an unknown jewel within ISKCON. Maybe now he's taken sannyas and gradually become better known, but very wonderful devotee, very grave and perfect gentleman in all respects, and very, very, very deep in Shastra and philosophy, and everything about him is very wonderful. So you can take advantage of his association. And again, I have to apologize that if I wasn't speaking here, he would be speaking. So you could have got more benefit, but anyway, now I'm here, I'll speak. We should speak about Krishna having come here. You're all anxiously waiting to hear about Krishna. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Krishna? Different people will give different answers. If you ask Kamsa, he won't give a very good answer. Just at Pune Airport, I was distributing prasadam to the devotees who had very kindly come to see me off. They're performing kirtan very nicely. And naturally, all the people standing by and the, you know, the security guy with the big sadajis, you know, big turbans and beards, but they're also very humbly taking prasadam. Actually, the Sikh religion was started, one reason was, well, it was started to be a merger of Hinduism and Islam, but then the later Sikh gurus, they had the idea that we should protect Hinduism. Oh, so they're all devotees, actually. His name was, you could see, his name was Har Gobind. So, but then one person, one young man, he wouldn't take, so I presumed he was a Christian or a Muslim, because you must see in Bangalore also, you see, like even the modern young youth, Indian, they'll have, you know, this weird hairstyle. To me it seems weird, maybe my hairstyle seems weird to them. You know, and the black glasses, and they're looking really modern, but then they give them some prasad and they also take it very nicely, so. But some young boy didn't, some look on his face. Oh. He didn't want to take the prasadam, some kind of antipathy towards it. So if you ask him who is Krishna, if you ask There are some people in India, though, even though their forefathers were Hindus, for want of a better term, they've adopted a different religious culture, and they don't like Krishna, and they don't want to take prasadam. But then, if you consider philosophically, which not many people consider anything very philosophically in the modern age, it's a non-philosophical age, it seems. The biggest philosophy is, you know, if you got philosophy, something like Osho, that's about as far as they get, which, you know, what do you need an Osho for? You just, you know, see a dog, what the dog does, and you don't need any philosophy. That's what Prabhupada said. Cats and dogs don't need Freud. Freud is promoting, don't have any inhibitions about sex. And Prabhupada said, well, what do you need Freud to tell you that for? So it's the same thing as Osho. The dogs, they do that. So you don't need a big psychologist or a big philosopher to tell you. So anyway, we're going back to the Christian or Muslim who, they don't want to take prasadam. But then if you consider philosophically, that if you don't believe in Krishna consciousness, then prasad, it's just some food. There's no difference between, it was some bundi, or there's no difference between that, and it's just some food. Then why do you refuse to take it? According to that understanding, there shouldn't be any difference between, we say that there's a difference. This is not ordinary food. It's not just ordinary bundi, which you can get from a shop, but it's cooked by devotees and offered with love to Krishna. And it's prasad, and it will transform you. It has a purifying effect. So they don't believe, officially they're not supposed to believe that. And if you don't believe it, then what's the harm in taking a little sweet? If it was, you know, maybe some big politician had come and they hand out, they do that also, isn't it? Politicians, they hand out sweets, sometimes they do that. So you wouldn't refuse if the politician was his party, they were handing out sweets. So why refuse it from me? Because they're afraid. Actually, they're philosophically trapped, because they're indirectly admitting that this has some potency. They don't want to take it. If I take it, I might become favorable to Krishna. So like, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to ask Kamsa about Krishna. If you get his opinion, who is Krishna? So there are so many people giving opinions about Krishna. The university scholar will give some opinion. They will say that that there was a tribal god called Krishna, which got the Krishna cult got blended with the Vedic god Vishnu. Rubbish. But they have to get their PhDs, so unless you write some rubbish, you can't get a PhD. So you have to make it sound as if you know something. You have to have a lot of big words. The anthropological hemoglobic hypothesis, epistemologically verified, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of big words put together. But
oh, yes, yeah, I agree with what you say. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Someone was telling me that that they met someone who was glorifying this Chinmaya Ananda, who's now getting some other kind of Ananda, which definitely isn't Chinmaya. It's Yamaduta Ananda. It's pleasure for the Yamadutas to deal with such people. Their perverted pleasure. Don't insult Vaishnava. Don't make Vaishnava proud. You end up as a Yamaduta. Of course, if you have the chance to give Chinmayananda what he deserves, maybe it's good to become a Yamaduta. But anyway, someone's glorifying Chinmayananda, and they said, they've been to his lecture. Wonderful lecture. Wonderful what he was saying. So the devotee asked, well, what did he say? He said, well, I can't remember what he was saying. I didn't really understand very much, but it was a wonderful lecture. So don't hear about Krishna from non-devotees. Avaishyavamo kod gyanam putam hari katam ritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpo chishtayatapayam. In this verse comes the word kartavya. You all know the word kartavya. It's a common word. Presumably it comes in Canada also. In all the Indian languages, except maybe Manipuri, which is in the Burmese family of languages. But all the Indian languages except Urdu and English are based on Sanskrit. So kartavya is a well-known word. For those of you who are living in India but haven't learned any Indian languages, which Prabhupada chastised, devotees, you're living in India so long you never learned any an Indian language. So for the sake of you, kartavya can be roughly translated as duty. Something which should be done. Kartavya, karta, you know from Bhagavad Gita the word karta means the doer. So kartavya means something which should be done or it's proper to do it. So it's roughly translated as duty. So in this verse comes the word kartavya. Shravana naiva kartavya. One should not hear. Such hearing should not be done. What is the hearing that should not be done? Hari katamrita. Shravana naiva kartavya. One should not, in this verse, it's stated that one should not hear Hari katamrita. That's unusual, isn't it? Because always we hear that Hari katamrita should be heard. Again and again, we hear, we learn that we should hear Hari Katha. Srimvatam, Shravana Naiva Kartavya, then Srimvatam. Shraddhaya Nitya, there are so many verses. Srimvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanaha, Kridyantas Tohiya Bhadrani, Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. Those who are satam, those who are devotees, aspiring devotees, Krishna, who is the very best friend of such a person, he is within the heart and he understands the genuine desire of the devotee to become purified. So the devotee who hears about Krishna, Krishna being very pleased with the effort to hear about Krishna, he purifies the heart of a person. Kridyanta Stohya Bhadrani, all the bad things in the heart. These two verses go together. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. What's the next? Bhagavati Tama Shloke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. So these are well known verses. Then again, Shunvatam Shraddhaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirghena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. The same thing it said, that one who's hearing with faith about Krishna, regularly hearing with faith and trying seriously to understand the subject matter, then Kalena Nati Dirghena, within not a very long time, Bhagavan will sit within our hearts. He's there, but he's not revealing himself to us. So again and again, hearing about Krishna is recommended. It is the purifying process. By hearing, what happens? Hearing in the association of devotees, satam prasangam mama virya sangvido bhavanti hritkara rasayana kataha tat jyotsvarat asva pavaga vartmane shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. The effect of hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, about hearing of the wonderful activities of Krishna, is that one advances on the path of liberation. One becomes free from the entanglement of the material world. One, first of all, one's faith increases. Then one's taste for Krishna and devotional service develops. And bhakti, then one develops actual mature bhakti, prema bhakti. All these take place gradually, step by step, by hearing about Krishna. But in this first verse I quoted, it was saying, Hari Katam Ritam, the Kartavya is Shravanat Naiva Kartavya, don't hear it. Why? In the one verse I just quoted before this, Satam Prasangam, Mama Virya Sangvidaha. One should hear in the association of devotees. Again, the same words come. Suhrit Satam. Satam Prasangam. Satam. Satam, this refers to the devotees. So, one should hear, and it's recommended, what is the effect of hearing in the association of devotees. But Shravanat Naiva Kartavya, don't hear Harikatamrit. Why? In this circumstance, Avaishnava Mokod Gyanam. Don't hear from non-devotees. But then you may say, well, that's Harikata. It's Amrit. It's Nectar. Amrit means nectar. It means that which stops death. So it's very sweet. Amrit means very nice, sweet, and it stops death. But not this. Because if you hear from non-devotees, then the example is given, sarva-tishya-yatha-payam. Just like milk. Milk is also called amrit. Because just like we call nectar drinks. In ISKCON they invented so many nectar drinks, which are like, it's milkshake actually, but in what they call nectar in the Western countries, they make this preparation, they boil down the milk. They put lots of sugar and then they blend it with some strawberries or something, and that becomes strawberry nectar. So that's a nectar drink. So it's milk. And it tastes very sweet. And also milk is good for health. That's why it's also sometimes called amrit. It's like an elixir. So don't take that harikatamrit. Don't take that milk. The example is given. Milk should be drunk. Milk is very good food. The milk, the essence of milk is ghee. And there's a saying, ayu grita, that ayu, or long life, is equated with ghee. If you take ghee, you should live a long life, if you can digest it. If you can't digest it, don't start eating 1 kilo of ghee every day. If you can digest it, it's very good for health. If you can't digest it, it's very bad for health. And ghee anyway is very difficult to get. You can get cans with ghee written on it, but real ghee made by the traditional process from cows that are not injected with all kinds of hormones, and very difficult to get real ghee. Anyway, milk. Getting back to the point here. Milk is just like nectar. But if you have a glass of milk and a poisonous snake drinks that, then the balanced milk, sarvochishta, that will be poisonous. The poison of the snake will enter into it, and it will be transformed from being life-giving nectar to death-causing poison. So in the same way, if we hear, this example is given, if we hear about Krishna from non-devotees, the result is our spiritual life is not nourished, we are poisoned. It's actually the opposite result, because non-devotees are envious of Krishna. Sometimes they present themselves as being devotees of Krishna, but because they are Mayavadis or demons, they may even present and do some nice story. Krishna is coming, he's coming through the forest, listen to his flute playing, it sounds, oh, this sounds very nice, like bhakti. But actually they're envious of Krishna. It may seem that they're great devotees, but if in the heart they're nourishing desires for becoming one with Krishna, or the, if you speak with them, or they speak some philosophy, and they say, well, actually, Krishna is, ultimately, Krishna is, they'll say, yes, yes, Krishna is Bhagavan. But ultimately, you see, he's a product of the avyakta. So they may say everything nice, but at the end, or not even, they may not even speak their philosophy, but because they have the misconception born of, not just of ignorance, but of envy of Krishna, then that will come through in their words. The effect of hearing. If you hear Prabhupada say, Krishna is Bhagavan, actually Prabhupada didn't say that often. He would explicate what it means. He wouldn't just say Krishna is Bhagavan, Krishna is God. He would say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you say Bhagavan, then every Hindu will say, yes, 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 Bhagavan. But what do they mean by Bhagavan? Well, you're saying Bhagavan, you mean one thing if you're a devotee, and they're hearing, and they immediately reconvert that word into their own understanding of Bhagavan, which is completely wrong. So they'll agree, yeah, you say to them, yes, Krishna is Bhagavan, yes, 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 we agree, Krishna is Bhagavan. But they have their own understanding that Bhagavan, Krishna was there 5,000 or how many years ago, and now Bhagavan is here in a new in another Vrindavan close to Bangalore. You can get the Vrindavan Express and go to hell in so-called Vrindavan. For the benefit of those who are not from Bangalore, we're talking about a certain Baba who, if you hear about him, you just, at the least you'll want to sigh. From a place called Put Something. Don't put your foot there. So there are many people like that. They'll say, yes, yes, Krishna is Bhagavan. Yes, we accept. And he's come as some sighing Baba. And he's now in his wheelchair Leela, I heard. Is that right? He's having his wheelchair Leela now. And soon, so. Or they'll say, yes, yes, Krishna is Bhagavan. And there's so many Bhagavans. Or there are more things, even, oh, yes, yes, he's Bhagavan, but you see, he also, oh, one time I was speaking with a real demon in, this is a long time ago, this is in Hubli. Again, background information for the non-Indians here. Hubli's in Karnataka state. I think it's the second biggest city. Hubli Dalwa together. So I was speaking with one man. He called me in his house. He said, "You see, I'm worshipping Narayan." And he said, he had a deity of Narayan. So I said, "Yeah, okay, you know, very nice." He was wanting to tell, you know, show me what. And he said, "I'm doing lots of welfare work with the Rotary Club." And so I told him, that's useless. That's not welfare work. That's only for the body. That's not real welfare work. So we had some discussion backwards and forwards about the welfare work. And he was getting more excited and angry, and I was too. And then we weren't saying anything. And all of a sudden, this man who started off by telling me he's worshipping Narayan, all of a sudden he interjected, "And Narayan, he's also Nirakari." We weren't discussing anything about Akar, Sakar, or any. Nirakari means no form. We weren't discussing anything about that. But I was just saying how this, you can't benefit anyone ultimately by he was opening telephone booths for crippled people, and, you know. They say, yeah, they're crippled, but unless they have knowledge of the soul, then the reason they got crippled is because of their sinful activities. They're going to go on getting crippled, birth after birth. We should give the knowledge of the soul by which we can become free from birth and death. So all of a sudden, we weren't discussing anything about Sakar, Nirakar, we weren't even mentioning the name Narayan. All of a sudden, he comes in, "Well, Narayan, he's also Nirakari," just to express his latent anger of Narayan, even though he was doing puja of Narayan every single day. But because the inherent envy of being a Mayavadi came out. So even you see he's worshipping, he's doing puja of Narayan every day. But that puja is full of envy, with the idea that I will become one with you, or I'm more than you, because you have this form is not real anyway. So very envious. So don't believe everyone who talks about Krishna that they're actually, they may talk as if they're a bhakta. But you have to see what is the philosophy. Otherwise you see Putana, she also came as a bhakta. Vatsasura. Putana is well known. Vatsasura, who can say, who is Vatsasura, also came. Came as a calf. So he entered among. Entered among the cowherd boys. But his aim was to destroy Shankarchuna. He entered among the gopis and took them away. So you might even see, or you might be in the temple or you're with Krishna, but be very envious of him also. In Sharjah once, someone took me to the home. I was told it's the home of a great devotee, and that big picture of Ranganath, but they also had a picture of Sai Baba. So I thought, what is this? All your forefathers are crying to see this. I gave a whole lecture on it. They never invited me again. Not surprising. But it was my duty to say that you're worshipping Ranganath, and that's your family tradition going back so many generations. Now you're worshipping Sai Baba. Your forefathers are going to be crying for this big offense, that this person represents himself as Bhagavan. He allows himself to be called Bhagavan. Another time in Bahrain, they called me to some satsang, and they all had a big picture of Tirupati Balaji. So it was very nice. I thought everything is very nice. I gave a lecture. And then after the program, I had to change from dhoti to this, you know, secular cloth, because it's a Muslim country. So I went in one room, changed. They said, "Don't go in there to change." I said, "No, it's all right." I said, "No, I'd already gone in there. It was too late. I saw all their Sai Baba pictures, which they'd hidden away because they knew I was coming." I went back and I gave another lecture. We should be angry, actually, that these people are cheating others so badly. What is going on in the name of Hinduism and bhakti? It's mostly all horrible cheating. That people are, these rascals, they're taking the pious sentiment of people, and if they're actually a sadhu or a guru, they should direct that piety toward Krishna, but instead they direct it toward themselves. They're very envious of Krishna, even though they sometimes may speak of Krishna. But they're speaking of Krishna, it's like Putana coming, showing some bhakti. But actually they want to kill Krishna. They cannot kill Krishna. Krishna will kill them. But you see, just like Putana, she before coming to Krishna, she killed so many babies. Very envious person. Looked very nice. But her real form was very envious. So don't be misled. We should hear Krishna Katha. But we have to discriminate also between those who are speaking Krishna Katha for the, actually that is Krishna Katha Kirtan, that is glorification of Krishna, that is purifying, and those who are making a show of speaking Krishna Katha with the aim of taking people's devotional spirit and deflecting it, and in this way actually killing it. Mostly, all the Mayavadis, they mostly speak Leela. Because if you speak Soham, Tattvamasi, Pragyanam Brahma, all these sayings of the Mayavadis, who's going to listen? It's boring as hell. Well, it's not, actually, if it's understood through the Vaishnava understanding, it's enlivening. Tattvamasi, you belong to him. If it's done, but the way they present it, there's nothing to say. That everything is nothing, nothing is everything, Om Shanti, and that's it, finished. What is there to say? There's nothing to say. So they speak Leela, and you might think that, well, it's something. They're also devotees, and they may even say do bhakti. Shankaracharya encouraged do bhakti. That is good for the common people. You do bhakti, and then later by the punya you get from bhakti, you can ultimately come to the point of jnana. And their idea of jnana is that I am God. Everything is God. Everything is one. So their encouraging to do bhakti is with a completely wrong, screwed up, upside down, back to front, inside out, distorted, perverted, offensive understanding. Although they say the same thing. They say, yes, Krishna, he gave shelter to Draupadi. They'll say the same thing, that Draupadi was only with one hand, and she put two hands, and Krishna is giving shelter to the surrendered souls. You might think, wow, this is wonderful. This is pure bhakti. Shravanam naiva kartavya. Don't hear that person. You might say, well, they're only speaking bhakti. But you have to see what is their philosophy and what is their purpose. Because in this age of Kali especially, there are many cheaters. So what is what is their philosophical understanding? Unless it's clearly in the line of the Vaishnava Sampradaya understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very clear that He is not a product of the impersonal Brahman. He's not a product of anything. Everything is a product of Him. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. How do the Mayavadis misinterpret that? It's difficult to... Avyaktam vyaktimapanam manyante mama buddhayah. Very clearly Krishna states that those who say that my personality has come from the unmanifest, such persons are abuddhayah, foolish. How the Mayavadis misconstrue this? Sheer envy and rascaldom. So one's understanding of Krishna consciousness should be very clear. We have Prabhupada's books, we should study them very carefully. Understand what is this philosophy he's presenting. The philosophy of the absolute truth received in parampara. It is a fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we don't know anything else, you may not be MSc, PhD, but if we know this, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're the fully educated, best educated person. All other education. If we don't come to that point, then it simply ends in animalism, which is quite prominent in Bangalore. You get education, and then you get a job and you earn money and you live something like an animal. We can't say that the way they live is exactly like an animal, because the animals are not so stupid as the human beings. I mean, the animals don't get drunk and then urinate in the animals are not so stupid. So we don't want to insult the animals too much by calling these people animals. But you get the general idea. Their education is in Western mythology. Sometimes you see some kind of animals that they're a combination of maybe a horse and a bird or something like that. So you see these human beings, they're a combination of an ass, they're working hard like an ass, and then a donkey, a donkey is stupid and stubborn, and they're like a dog. It's like they're a combination of different animals. So that's the value of your education. You become so foolish. You live in such a foolish way. You completely forget the purpose of life, which is to understand Krishna. So hear Krishna Katha. Hear about Krishna, but with the right philosophical understanding. And the two things go together. What is the attitude? What is the purpose? Sometimes you hear people who they're devotees of sorts. They give Bhagavad lectures and they have satsangs and this and that, but they're materialistic. It's still quite common that people like to hear Bhagavad Katha. In Canada also? In Canada language they have Bhagavad Kathas. Is it in Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, Bhagavad Katha, Ram Katha? It's still very popular. We're also doing, but you see maybe 100 people will come. And the popular Kathakas, so they'll have maybe sometimes lakhs of people come. In Gujarat, there's some popular, famous Bhagavad and Ramayana speakers who literally lakhs of people come to listen. So what's the difference between them speaking and us speaking? The difference is that they are speaking in a manner which doesn't disturb people's sense gratification. People come with the idea of getting punya, and they do get punya, but they don't get bhakti, even though the talk will be of bhakti. But their idea of bhakti is that Ram will bless us for sense gratification. We'll live a pious life of sense gratification. Not very simple. They'll go to the 7-day katha, and then they'll come home, and again TV chalu karte hain. Again the TV will be running. So there's no change of heart. The aim is not anyabhilashita shunyam, to become free of material desires in the service of Krishna. The aim of the speaker and the hearer is not sarvadhaman paripta jamame kam sharanam raja. The idea is that Bhagavan, not very clearly, they won't speak, they won't give a definition, they won't get into philosophy very much. Just stories, lots of stories. People are happy, they like to hear it, and people think, yes, we're doing bhakti. But only stories and no philosophical understanding means that it's a kind of cheating, actually, because it's just presumed that the people, you're all great devotees, and now we're enjoying the prem ras. The prem ras comes after ādo śraddhā tata sādhu saṅga tato bhajana kriya tato anārtha nivṛtti. Where's the attempt to become free from all the dirty things in the heart, all the misconceptions? They say, well, I'm free from analysis, I'm initiated. I don't drink tea, I don't drink coffee, I don't watch TV much. Just a little bit. I'm free from anartas, but siddhanta alashyam anartha to charena. If we're lazy in the matter of understanding siddhanta, we won't be able to be free from anartas. They may be there in the gross form, or even if not in the gross form, in the subtle form. So we have to understand what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very clearly, and not be misled by cheaters who present as if they're presenting Krishna consciousness, but it's not. It's not rupanuga bhakti. And if it's not rupanuga bhakti, then it's kicked out. We pray to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we praise him. Rupa Anoga Viruta Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. He is the one who removes the darkness of the wrong conclusions which are opposed to those given by Rupa Goswami, the Sampradaya from Rupa Goswami. So you have these books, read them, try to understand them, hear this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The desire has to be there to be free from material desires. That desire has to be there. Otherwise, we know we're going to get free from material desires. Makes sense, doesn't it? How can we get free from material desires? Without being free from material desires, there's no question of making any advancement in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of? Prem. You can talk prem, bhav, ras, you can say as much as you like, but it's not going to be, it's just going to be words. Unless we're making the endeavor to become free from material desire. So, how are we going to become free from material desires? Well, at least we have to make the endeavor to do so and understand that we require to be free from material desires. So that has to be there. We have to channel our desires toward Krishna. You have a desire, you're unmarried, and you have a desire to have a family, all right, but have a family with the some sense gratificatory desires there, but the aim of the family should be that everything is centered on Krishna. That we'll, family means husband and wife will cooperate to serve Krishna. The aim of both husband and wife is to become pure devotees of Krishna and to raise children in Krishna consciousness. So that's all right, the desire is there, but channel that in Krishna consciousness. That's an example. It's an important example because most people are married. Now the school holidays are coming up, and they have water parks in Bangalore, I suppose they must have. Yeah? Chennai, where our temple is, and there's so many water parks, you feel like you're wet just driving up the road, because every day, water park, water park, water. So, you can go to the water park during the holidays. You can also take Prabhupada's books and go door to door and help people to have a holiday from material life, from getting born again. Not a holiday, permanent respite from birth and death. Water park means suffering in the water park. There's suffering in the job, and then during the holiday you just suffer in a different way, that's all. Give people these books. Help people to become free from birth and death. Devotee means he's not just a devotee for himself, but he sees others are suffering without knowledge of Krishna. Let us do something to help people to come to Krishna. Prabhupada said that we should know there's no better way to preach Krishna consciousness than to distribute his books. So there are other ways. He didn't say that there aren't other ways. And Prabhupada, he gave so many different ways of preaching Krishna consciousness, in every way imaginable, and Prabhupada even gave some ways which hadn't been imagined before. But he stressed, distribute these books. You can go door to door. Maybe you want to take your children to the water park also. I guess I haven't been inside, I don't know what's there, but it doesn't sound like it's the most degraded thing in the world. But you can go out, take Prabhupada's books. You can do it regularly and help others to get the real knowledge of Krishna consciousness. People are being cheated in so many ways by so-called Hinduism, so-called Christianity, so-called Islam. Jesus, he really wanted you to eat meat? I don't think so. He's a saintly person. He's a sadhu. He's not a meat eater. Jesus wanted that you become a Christian, and in the name of Jesus blaspheme Krishna. Highly doubtful. People are not getting proper information. Real information of the need of the soul is there in Prabhupada's books. So please, this is a good way. You have holidays coming up. Not you, you don't have. The children in the schools have. HP, all these project workers, they don't have any holiday. Even when you go to pass water, they're timing you, right? If you take more than 25 seconds to go to the bathroom, then they're on your case. On the projects, it's like that, it seems. I was told in the projects, the people, they don't go home for like days on end. When they're hungry, they dial a pizza. When you're tired, they're not allowed to become tired more than 4 hours a day. Then they give you a bed to sleep on, and that's it, work. If you have any time, if you don't have any time, then make time. If you have time, then go and distribute books. It'll be the best use of your time to practice Krishna consciousness and spread it to others. Till that time, it is getting a bit late, and I know you have to go to work tomorrow, and I also have to get up, and the book distributors also have to get up. So I'm going to finish this talk here. We spoke something about Krishna. Thank you for coming here, and don't turn it off yet. And giving me the opportunity to speak something about Krishna, about the understanding of Krishna consciousness. Are there any questions about this, please? Yeah, please. Do we have a cordless mic? Don't have?
Speak a little loud.
Yes, speak loudly. See the person furthest away from you, who's that Mataji in the corner there. Speak so she can hear. Oh, you can use this mic also. It's an alternative.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is it alright to share lectures from other bona fide sampradayas, like the Sri Sampradaya or the other the Madhva line or the other different branches?
The answer is maybe. Maybe, but why? We have the Unatajvala Rasa, that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give the complete understanding of Krishna consciousness. So they're leaving, they'll also glorify the Lord, that may be nice to do so. But some different philosophical understanding is that, I'm not saying it's wrong, and I don't want to start arguing with them, but it's not the complete understanding that's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, that's what I'm saying, maybe. If someone's raised in that tradition, and then afterwards they come to appreciate Krishna consciousness as given in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya, they may have some attachment to hearing that. We can't say it's wrong, but full understanding of Krishna consciousness will come in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya. And again, maybe another maybe is, this maybe also applies within ISKCON, because it may be that some people speaking in ISKCON, it's not unheard of that people do speak some wrong philosophical things, even though they may be in ISKCON. And you should be sharp enough to catch that out, because people do say wrong things. Sometimes very seriously. Mayavad and Sahajiyaism, those tendencies are always there, and it may be that someone's in ISKCON and they're also saying that. So it may be that someone's superficially in the Sri Sampradaya, or I've been to places where they're Sri Sampradaya and they have the picture of Ranganathan, but they've mixed it up with Sai Baba. I definitely wouldn't want to hear from anyone who's like that. And some of them, not many, the main Madhva Sampradaya leaders and Sri Vaishnava leaders, they're mostly quite appreciative of ISKCON, but some lower rung people who don't really know very much, they're actually very blasphemous. So you wouldn't want to hear from them also. So who should we hear from? Be careful. Generally in ISKCON we'll say yes, it's good to hear, but then some people, even though they're nominally within ISKCON, they may say things which are wrong, actually, which are not what is in line with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Can we accept demigods prasadam? According to Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we shouldn't. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. According to Rupa Goswami means what he's collected from Shastra. We can accept that which is offered to Vishnu and then offered to demigods. That's possible. But generally in the demigod temples, it's offered by people who have the misconception that this demigod is an independent god, separate from Vishnu, which constitutes a great offense. So, what we often go to temples, not often, but sometimes we're in the vicinity of a temple, and we go there to offer respects to the demigod, a demigod temple. We enter to offer respects to the demigod. And then we'll offer the Abhishek Jalam, Charanamrit, whatever. So, or they'll give prasad, and so as not to offend them, and we can't get into a, you know, we can't get into a big fight with every time that actually Krishna is supreme, you should give this up, and we may accept it, but not take it. So in that way, we accept it, but we don't. We take it outside, like that, and then we can distribute to some birds or something like that. That's what I do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited demigod temples, especially when he was in South India. So we don't have any record of what he did in this circumstance. But that's what I suggest you do. That's what I do. There are Vishnu temples outside. Well, that's a bigger problem, isn't it? When they have the demigod temple and the Vishnu temple as a sub-shrine. That just goes to show that the misconception. That kind of worship of Vishnu is not... The worship of Vishnu by Pantopasakas. That's not actual worship of Vishnu. They take him as one of the gods. And in most cases they consider him subordinate to Shiv Shankar. So their attitude is offensive. How to remain always Krishna conscious? Always chant Hare Krishna. Don't stop. If you're not able to do that, then follow the process of Bhakti Yoga. That will help us to gradually come to that platform. Don't expect that you're going to become a Paramahamsa overnight.